Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Zion. And we begin today on the bottom of Avamud Beis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf will be learned, Lezeich Nishma, so is Lupin Zaltzman. And we continue. Today's daf is dedicated to really one topic, and that is the third wall. Okay, since the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about the structure and the parameter of the sukkah. Nearly a week has been dedicated to the topic of linear measurements. We talked about the height of the sukkah, the maximum height, the minimum height of the sukkah, 20 amos for the maximum height, 10 tefachim for the minimum height. We talked about the area. Smallest area that a sukkah could be is 7 by 7 tefachim, which is the amount of area necessary to hold the head and the majority of your body and a small table. That is the opinion of Beis Shammai, the halacha falls of Beis Shammai. And that has been our topic of discussion over the past, nearly for the past week, since the beginning of the Masechta. We talked about the number of walls necessary for a sukkah. So the number of walls necessary for a sukkah is three walls. There's an opinion that we saw yesterday in the Gemara. We ended off yesterday's daf by pointing to the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that you need four walls. Okay, but we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. In this regard, we're going to touch on Rabbi Shimon at the end of today's daf, but that's not the halach. The halach is that you have three walls. And on top of that, there's a halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai. There's a tradition that we have. We spent a lot of time past couple of days talking about halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai, the concept in general, applications of halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai. Vis-a-vis sukkah, there's one specific halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai, and that is the third wall doesn't have to be a full wall. The third wall would be sufficient. If the third wall were just simply a tefach, as long as that third wall is just but a tefach, meaning, again, the minimum dimensions of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tefachim. So, but you don't need to be surrounded by three walls of 7 tefachim. It would be sufficient if one of those three walls were just simply one tefach. That would be enough. For the balance of today's shir, I mean today's daf, basically is a discussion of how exactly to position that one tefach wall. And basically what the Gemara is going to deal with is we're going to try to make the most of that. In other words, this is really an analysis of how to take something tiny and make something more of it. How is it possible that we can make more of this tefach? A lot of concepts are coming up today, over the course of today, vis-a-vis Shabbos, vis-a-vis wall, comparison of walls l'gabi Shabbos and walls l'gabi Sukkah. Okay, that'll come up later. We'll come back to that later on. We're on the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis. We are starting from where we left off yesterday. Va'oso tefach hecha ma'amida. Okay, here's the Gemara's question. Gemara wants to know, where do we put that one tefach? So again, we have a third wall. The third wall only needs to be a tefach. Where do we place it? So the Gemara starts off with a very simple suggestion. Now, mind you, before we get to that third wall and the tefach, and where do we need to place it? So obviously that means that we have two real walls. Now, there are only two configurations with the two real walls, all right? There's not much to choose of. Either the two real walls could be at a perpendicular, so that means that they're going to be at a 90-degree angle, or the two walls could be running parallel with one another. Okay, those are your two permutations. They're not going to, you can't come up with anything else. And if you can, that'd be very creative. So those are your real two permutations. What will be the Gemara's assumption, and after going through Masechta Shabbos, I kind of do understand why this is the Gemara's assumption, that it's preferable for the two walls to be at a perpendicular. Meaning, in order to create more of an enclosure feel to it, so therefore the two walls are going to be at the natural state of those two walls are at a perpendicular, at a 90-degree angle, and it would be less enclosure-like if those two walls were running parallel with one another. Now, how do I know that? Well, first of all, basically from the Gemara upcoming, it will be clear. But also just from our discussion back in Erevin. Meaning we learned that if you have what's called a mavu mafulash, it's a term we're going to be using over the course of this morning. A mavu is an alleyway. Alleyway is not the best translation, but basically it is I guess we would call a street, but surrounded by walls on either side. So mavu mafulash, if it's a mavu, where it open on one side and open on the other side, so the Gemara says that really does not have an identity of a rishos. It doesn't have any domain property to it. So therefore, in our discussion, it will be clear from the Gemara that when you start off with the two walls running at a perpendicular are considered more of an enclosure. Fine. With that as our starting point for the discussion, now we're going to take the third wall and we're going to put it somewhere, and where exactly we're going to put that third wall. So the Gemara starts off the discussion. Bottom of Amud Beis. Amar Rav, Ma'amida keneged ha'yotzei. So Rav says we're going to place it against the yotzei. Simply put, we'll put it on one of the ends. Okay, I outlined three simple diagrams over here on the board. I know I could do a little bit more, but right now to your left, that diagram all the way to the left. In other words, just simply take the third tefach and stick it at the end of one of the walls. Ma'amidu keneged yotze. Okay, and that's all you need. Minatara, that creates now a kasher sukkah. I got two mechitzas and ikaros. I got two real walls, and the halacha Moshe Messina only dictates that the third wall be one tefach. And there you have it. So Amar le Rav Kahana ve Rav Asi le Rav. So the two students of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, students of Rav, they say to the Rebbe, Rav, v'yamidena keneged rosh tor. I don't understand. Why don't you place the keneged rosh tor? So Rashi says that means a diagonal. Okay, so that's picture number two for today. In other words, instead of making it that third wall in a 90 degree angle, why don't you put it now at a more of like a 45 degree angle and having it cut in? What's the advantage of that? So Rashi says it creates more of an enclosure feeling. Now, when I say it creates more of an enclosure feeling, because look, in the first picture, so you have a lot of open space, and because that wall now is that third wall is at a 90 degree angle, so it doesn't really give you a feel of I'm in an enclosure when I'm inside. Masha'in Kane, however, in that second picture where there's a 45 degree angle, so it cuts in, so it gives more of a feel. Although, to be fair, to be honest, it gives more of a feel for, if I were to draw an imaginary line, something more like that. In other words, in this suggestion of the Gemara, is the Gemara actually saying that you could use all four corners? Or in this suggestion of the Gemara, is the Gemara just simply saying I can only use the triangular formation that's made? I'm unclear about that, I don't know. But the Gemara says, but that's what the Gemara is suggesting again. The basic issue, and really is the entire issue for today, is how are we going to adjust and maneuver that third wall in order to create a feel of enclosure? Just a technical note, the Gemara uses the terminology keneged rosh tor. What does that mean? So if you take a look at Rashi says that it's a term used elsewhere, which describes a diagonal. The Rashi describes a minug. The practice was when furrowing in the fields is that they would, with every successive furrow, they would leave it a drop shorter so that by the end of the day, the ends of the furrow basically cut into a diagonal. Okay, but anyway, that's the technical point. But basically, this is a suggestion that both Rav Asi and Rav Kahana say to Rav. What's Rav's response to this suggestion? Shasik Rav. Rav gives him no response. Now, again, from the Gemara standpoint, I'm reading the Gemara, you're hearing the Gemara. You don't know what the tone is. You don't know what he was looking at them bewildered. He was looking at them confused. We don't know. In other words, he doesn't say anything to them. Could be he was just giving them a blank stare like, you got to be kidding me. Like, nah, that can't be. Okay, we don't know. So, but anyway, Rav didn't respond to that. In my name, I'm Shmuel, Mishmei Delevi, Ma'amidu Kenegad Yotzei. So Shmuel also comes up with the same ruling as Rav, which is that basically all you need to do is take the third wall, like the first picture, all the way to the left, to your left, take the third wall and just simply put it on a perpendicular opposite one of the walls. By the way, I wrote it, I did on the top, obviously it would be just as good to do it coming off the other side as well. So Ma'amidu Kenegad Yotzei, V'chemor and Beit Midrash, Ma'amidu Kenegad Yotzei. And in the Beit Midrash, they came out with the same ruling, that all you need to do is just simply take that one tefach wall and attach it as a perpendicular to either end of the two walls. Rabbi Simon V'item Rav Yishua Malevi Amar Oslo Tefach Shochek U'Ma'amidu B'Pachos Mishosha Tefachim. So then the Gemara quotes the name of Yeshua ben Levi, a different opinion. And that is the following. Let's not just simply attach it right to the edge of one of the two walls. Because quite frankly, according to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, you're not really getting an enclosure. You're not getting an enclosed feeling. And quite frankly, that one tefach wall, that's not a wall. Meaning, what is our general understanding of a wall? So, something with substance. Something real. And what comes out now, according to every suggestion that we made, even the 45 degree angle suggestion, you don't really have a wall in that third area. You just simply have one tefach, and that's it. Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, "Allow me to make the following suggestion. What we'll do is we'll make a tefach shochek. Tefach shochek means it's a tefach, but a little bit larger than your typical tefach. A tefach is the span of a fist, right? From one knuckle from the first knuckle to the fourth knuckle. So again, it's approximately 4 inches. Now again, not every hand is the same. We're talking basically about an average. It's somewhere within the range of 3 to 4 inches. So what you're going to do, says Rav Yishuv ben Levi, is you'll take a beam that's one tefach, but not one precise tefach. It'll be a little bit wider than your typical tefach. It'll be what the Gemara refers to as a tefach shochek. Shochek means smiling, wider. Fine. So let's say, just for the purposes of argument, let's say that a standard tefach is 4 inches. So let's get a beam that's 5 inches. Fine. And then ma'amidu bepachos mishloshet tefachim samach ledofen. And now we're up to my third diagram already. And now what you'll do is you'll take the third beam and you will place it. I didn't make it wide, but okay, it's a tefach shochik. It's a little bit more than a tefach, and you will put it just short, just 3 tefachim short of the edge. Okay, and then we'll go back to a principle that we learned the other day. Anytime that you have two items that are within 3 tefachim of one another, the halacha l'moshe mitzina dictates that it's enclosed, that there's a closure. So now I have the 1 tefach beam plus the just under 3 tefachim airspace, which is no longer halachically viewed as airspace, but it's viewed as covered. So 1 plus 3, that's 4. So now I have halachically created 4 tefachim. Great. Perfect. Why is that perfect? Because we know that in order for a sukkah to be a kosher sukkah, it has to be minimum 7 by 7. Once I created 4 tefachim on this side, so I have halachically constituted the majority of a wall. The majority of a wall, 7 tefachim. 4 is the majority of 7. I understand we could even reduce it further. We can go down to 3.7, 3.6. The Gemara loves dealing in whole numbers. The Gemara does not enjoy fractions. So we'll just deal with 4 tefachim. So once I have 4 tefachim, now I have a majority of a wall. And so what Rav Yishuv ben Levi is saying is, that's exactly how we're going to do it. By taking the 1 tefach, putting it within 3 tefachim of the wall, now I have the majority of a wall, and that is how we're going to create the third wall. That is the suggestion of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. And by the way, tefach shochik, why does it have to be a little bit wider than a tefach? Because it can't be 1 plus 3. Because 3 tefachim is going to be considered not lavud. Meaning we only will say lavud if it's less than 3. Less than but not equal to 3. Sorry, yeah. Less than 3. So therefore, tefach shochik, because we want basically that beam to encroach a little bit into the airspace area between the beam and the wall, so that the area between them is less than 3 tefachim, that's why the Gemara over here demands the tefach shochek. The totality of that will be 4 tefachim. Okay, and that's the majority of a wall. Amar Rav Yehuda Sukkah ha'asuya kemavui kshera. Okay, now, again, as I pointed out from the beginning of the daf, the natural assumption of a sukkah, the first two walls, is that they're running perpendicular to one another, so that it creates an L bracket. The Gemara now is going to suggest, what if they're not at a perpendicular? What if the two walls that we're starting with are going to be running parallel with one another? What then would become the solution? How exactly are we going to create a third wall? So sukkah, sukkah asui kamavui. So if I have a sukkah made like a mavui, mavui is that alleyway. Again, generally in Erevin, we talk about a mavui sasum. We talk about a closed mavui, where it basically is circumscribed by 3 walls. Here, the Gemara is referring to a mavui mefulash, obviously, because we're basically trying to figure out how to make that third wall. So, ksheira, v'oso tefach ma'amidu l'chol ruch shiyirtze. So, Rav Yehuda starts off by saying, and as far as the tefach is concerned, wherever you want, just simply run it on a perpendicular against one of the parallel walls, and that'll create the third wall. Rabbi Simon, v'item Rav Yishuv ben Levi amar oso lo pas arba'a umashu, Uma'amido bepachos mishlosha samach ledofen. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, no, here I disagree. If you have 2 parallel walls and you want to now create a third wall, a tefach is insufficient. What you need is a slat, a beam of 4 tefachim wide, and a little bit more. And again, just simply so that we are going to place it within 3 tefachim of one of the walls. So you take a slat that's 4 tefachim wide, 4 plus a little bit, place it within 3 tefachim of one of the parallel walls. Once again, now we employ the principle of lavud, and good, and that's how you're going to do it. Now here, mind you have more material. You actually need a 4 tefach slat placed within 3 tefachim of one of the walls, and now you're going to have halachically 7 tefachim of actual wall. And that's what you need, says Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, in order to create the third wall of the 2 parallel walls. Umayshna. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question. So when my first two walls were running perpendicular with one another and creating an L bracket, so Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, fine, you want to make a third wall, all you need is a one tefach slat, placing it within three tefachim of one of the perpendicular walls, and that's how you're going to create a third wall. Masha Enkin, however, when it comes to the two parallel walls opposing one another, so there Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, I need a four tefach slat, placing that within three tefachim on one of the walls. Why, when it runs parallel with one another, do I need more material? That's the Gemara's obvious question. Umayshna hasam de kamar tzagi tefach shochek, umayshna hacha de kamar bayi pasar ba. Hasam di kashay defanus keo chasam sagile betefach shochek. So the Gemara answer, let's see the answer first and then we'll comment. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the two perpendicular walls, so the Gemara says, shtay defanus keo chasam. That's the proper halacha. So sagile betefach shochek, so therefore tefach will be enough. But hacha de leka shtay defanus, but here you don't have two walls. So therefore, the only way to rectify the situation is only if I have a four tefach slat placed within three tefachim, one of the walls, then and only then will be good. Right? You see what happened in the Gemara? The Gemara asked a question, and the Gemara didn't give much in terms of an answer. It's not an explanation. The Gemara just simply says, well, because. Meaning in the perpendicular scenario, you have two walls, kil chasan, and in the case of the two parallel walls, you don't have two walls. That's the Gemara's answer. It's difficult to understand. Meaning, what do you mean? What does that mean? You don't have two walls? Sure, you do. They happen to be running parallel with one another. They're not at a perpendicular. So, what does the Gemara mean when it says you don't have two walls? So again, because go back to the beginning of today's daf. Meaning, that's the assumption going into this whole discussion. When the walls are running perpendicular with one another, that is more of a natural enclosure. That is just simply the natural state of how to enclose something. Two parallel walls against one another don't create any form of an enclosure. And that's why, if you want to now enclose that into your sukkah, you need actual building material. Four tefach slat placed within three tefachim of the wall to create that enclosed feeling. But once I have two at a perpendicular, now I'm already basically there, and now all I need is just simply one tefach. That is presumably a little more explanation to the Gemara's answer. Amar Rava. Now, before we get to the three statements of Rava, okay, so where are we so far today? We're talking the halacha Moshe Misinai, the third wall only need be a tefach, where exactly is it placed? Good, so that's been our discussion for today. But when all said and done, Rav and Shmuel say that even if I go with option A, right, the one all the way to your left, that would be fine, that Rav said that, Shmuel said that, that would be sufficient, even though obviously you have a tremendous amount of airspace. And the only addition Rav Yehoshua ben Levi made is that no, he would prefer that the tefach be, first of all, tefach shochek could be a little bit wider than a tefach, placed within three tefachim of the edge, of either one of the edges. That'll create a halachic four tefach wall, and that's how you create the third wall according to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Fine. So, an option, that center option that was suggested by Rav Asi and Rav Ami, but to that, Rav just simply didn't have any response. He didn't seem like it moved him. Okay, that takes care of the early Amoraim. So we have Rav, we have Shmuel, we have Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Those are all first-generation Amoraim. Now we move ahead and we go to Rava. Amar Rava. Now there are going to be three versions of what Rava says, but basically Rava wants more. Okay, that's, not in every one of the three versions, I take it back. But basically, Rav is going to discuss now, is there maybe more option, or is there another alternative, or is there more requirement than what we've been speaking about so far? Amar Rav, ve'ein eini teres ella b'tzuras ha-pesach. Version number one. There are three of them. Version number one of Rav is, this will only work if I have tzuras ha-pesach. Okay. First, a little primer. Tzuras ha-pesach. In Erevin, we discussed this at length. What is the tzuras ha-pesach? Tzuras ha-pesach is where I have basically the frame of a doorway. I have the two side posts and I have a lintel going over the top. And that creates a tzuras ha-pesach. The Gemara and Erevin discusses, basically, when you have a tzuras ha-pesach, it creates a wall. Now, is it a bona fide wall? For the most part, the answer is yes. Okay? For Erevin purposes, it could be that, let's start off with what we all think we know. If I have a city and it's surrounded by tzuras ha-pesach, not by actual wall, but just by simply by these frames, So I basically now made an enclosure around the entire city, where the city now is surrounded by walls. Even though the walls are not visible, you know, there's no actual material, but that would be sufficient. And once I do that, so now we are within an enclosed area, and now we make our Eruv, and everyone contributes bread, and we all combine, and okay, good. That's the general assumption. Okay. Just in general, not everyone agrees to that. The Rambam's position is that even when you're making an enclosure around, you have to have more actual enclosed area than non-enclosed area, but fine. Okay, again, it's important, but for our purposes, that's the general idea of Tzuras HaPesach. Is there any, when making a Tzuras HaPesach, is there any width requirement for the two side posts of a Tzuras HaPesach? The answer is no. There's no requirement for how wide it has to be. In fact, recently I went around the tour around the Erev in Boca. One of the Tzuras HaPesach here that is used is a string running up one of the poles, and that is forms the Tzuras HaPesach, one of the sides of the Tzuras HaPesach, right? What they call an halacha lechi. Not to be confused with a lechi that's used for mavui, a simple string. What about over the top? Is there any requirement is there a width requirement for the lentil that's going over the top? Once again, no. A simple wire going over the top would serve as a lentil for the Tzuras HaPesach, for the frame of a door. Okay. Once we have a Tzuras HaPesach, we basically have a wall. What Rava is now arguing is that in the world of Sukkah, look, the third wall has to be a tefach. Or it has to be, not the right way to say it. It can be a tefach. But according to the first version of Rava, it has to be a tefach and it has to be a Tzuras HaPesach. How exactly is that going to work? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here explains Rava's first statement. Amar Rava v'ein tzaras ela b'tzuras HaPesach b'erev v'namar. I'm going through Rashi. Hey chidam b'tzuras HaPesach kan mekan 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 v'kana al gabehem. Okay, so simply, a vertical on one side, a vertical on another side, and a horizontal going over the top. And what Rav is explaining over here is that when the Braisa says a tefach is sufficient, where it allows a third wall, eino matir ela im kena sola oso tefach tzuras HaPesach al pnei kol hadofen. So what you're going to do is you're going to take this one tefach wall and you're going to convert that into tzuras HaPesach. And how do we do the conversion? Rashi explains. Ketzad, kana shochatzi tefach chetzal ayotze, v'kana shochatzi tefach b'mitzosha kenegdo, v'kana al gabeyem mizela zeh, havalei ki'ilu kol hadofen sasam. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the one tefach wall for the third wall, split it in half, so now I have a half of a tefach, I'll throw that on one side, basically over here. I'll throw the other tefach over here. We'll put a wire. Sorry, this is a two-dimensional. I'll throw a wire over the top or something over the top. And Rashi says, and that is how we're going to make this third wall. Shekenegdev v'kana agabem izel azeh. Havelei ki'ilu kol adofen sasam de pesach sheyesh letzuras haPesach stima mal yasehi. And that is a stima that like closes it off. Right? Beperakam de'erivim v'zehu tefach sharmu chachamim. And that's the tefach that was said by the chachamim. Okay. Mind you, this is interesting for the following reason. Because generally, by Tzuras HaPesach, as I mentioned a moment ago, there is no width requirement for the two sides. The two vertical poles that are on the two sides of it, Tzuras HaPesach, generally does not need to be neither a tefach nor half a tefach. What Rashi over here is saying, in Rava's first statement, is that by Sukkah, we're going to be lenient, but we're going to be stringent. Meaning lenient in that a tefach is sufficient, we're going to be stringent in that we're going to take that tefach and we're going to make it into a Tzuras HaPesach so that either side of the Tzuras HaPesach is going to be flanked by half tefach beams, which generally in the world of Tzuras HaPesach, you don't need a half a tefach. So Rav is creating both a leniency and a stringency. A leniency is that you don't actually need a wall in the third, but that's not Rava's creation. That's a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But a stringency in that you're creating a Tzuras HaPesach, but each one has to be a half a tefach, which generally there is no width requirement for the two vertical poles on the side. Okay, that is Rava number one. Rava number two. Let me find my place. And the Torah says, "Pesach igadamri amarava vinitarti nami b'tzuras haPesach." According to Rava number two, here it's either or, right? Rashi, mashma de tefach sheshanina hainu k'deperash Rabbi Simon la'el osestima tefach etzal yotze. So you could either put a one tefach beam on one of the edges, like we described over there in the first picture. And according to Rava's second version, I could either go with the one tefach or I can go with the Tzuras haPesach. What's the difference between the second version and the first version? A regular Tzuras haPesach. Meaning not like what we suggest in the first version. In the first version, you're going to take the one tefach beam, divide in half, and have it half a tefach here, half a tefach here. According to Rava's second version, no. Either you go with the one tefach beam, or you go with just a regular Tzuras haPesach. And by regular, we mean it could be any width vertical pole on this side, any width vertical pole on the other side, a string going over the top, a regular Tzuras haPesach. That's version number two. And now one more version. Ikadamri amaravu tzricha nami Tzuras haPesach. According to version number three, I need two things. I need the one tefach flat. That's the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that the third wall doesn't have to be a full wall. It could be one tefach. But as an addendum, I also need a Tzuras haPesach. Now, exactly how is this going to be structured? What's the actual structure of this? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes very tersely, mashma de tarvai be'inan. Tefach etzel hayotze, so I need the one tefach. V'kane b'zavisha kenegdo. I'll put a beam all the way in the opposite corner, meaning that the empty corner. V'kane shal gabem kai mitefach zel, v'kane shal zavis. So now what I'm going to have, basically, is a tefach, and it's Tzuras haPesach going all the way to the empty corner. Obviously with a pole situated in the empty corner. So I have a kane and a tefach. I'm sorry. I have a kana and a Tzuras haPesach. That is version number three. Now this addendum, this is required from the Torah? Seemingly not. Meaning, so who instituted this? That would only be speculation on my part. I don't know. But it sounds like that min haTorah it would be sufficient with a tefach, meaning that's a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and just as a way of, and I say this both literally and figuratively, just simply framing the rest of the wall. So therefore, there's a Tzuras haPesach requirement in addition to the one tefach, so that we get to, quote-unquote, see more of the wall. At least, or at least get a sense of more of the wall, but that seems to be an addendum, if you will, a rabbinic addition that was added on to the Halach L'Moshe
Mitzinai. How is this different from the case of Yadafidah, where if you just put four poles?
Well, the four poles, if you remember, the Gemara debated whether or not that works at all. So the Gemara and the conclusion.
You can have four Tzuras haPesach going down.
Correct. That gets to a discussion. I touched on it a moment ago. Meaning, if I made a Tzuras haPesach around all four sides, would that be enough? So that's okay. That in and of itself is its own discussion outside of the Gemara. That's the right question.
Don't you need the top poles for the shkak?
Yeah, so the schach, look, the Gemara right now is dealing with it more analytically than it is practically. Meaning, analytically, what's the minimum amount of wall you actually need? Practically, I understand, getting the schach on top of it's going to be a challenge. But the Gemara right now is just dealing with an analytical standpoint of what is the base minimum. That's the discussion. And then the practical issue, fine, you're right, the schach getting on top of that is going to be very difficult.
Hard to see it's the base minimum when the schach is the whole purpose.
But again, correct. But the Gemara, but you're dealing with now with structurally. You're trying to envision actually building a sukkah. The Gemara is just dealing with what is the basic halacha requirement. That's the discussion coming off. This is a legal document discussing the legalities. And then, in other words, when you take out your hammer and your nails, you're going to figure out I don't know where to put the schach. Okay, that's an issue. So now the Gemara says, fine. So we have three versions of Rava. Rav Ashi finds Rav Kahana, who is building a sukkah. And what does he do for his third wall? So he goes like Rava version number three, where he builds a tefach shochek. He makes a one tefach slat for that third wall, and v'kavit zeros haPesach. So I'm lo sevel amar lahad rav adamar rav nitzar tanami zeros haPesach. So he asks him, well, didn't Rava say either or? Well, that was version number two. Amalei anakida chlishna de Rava sfirle tamar rav utricha nami zeros haPesach. No, I don't hold the version number two. I hold the version number three. So what you get from this Gemara is two things. First of all, you get from the Gemara that everybody knew the various versions of Rava, meaning the fact that the Gemara introduces the three versions of Rava means that, in other words, there were discrepant viewpoints of what Rava actually held. And it's just and the discrepancy, by the way, is just a simple conjunction, meaning is it an and, is it an or is it either? Same thing. Anyway, but okay. That's the various discrepancies of Rava's statement. And then, of course, what you also get from this Gemara is, what's the halakha conclusion? Meaning, so from the fact that Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi, well, Rav Kahana certainly felt that I need both, meaning that if I'm going to use the Tefach, I also need Zeros haPesach. It sounds like from this Gemara, that the Nami, that the third version of Rava is the accepted version, that if you want to make your third wall just a Tefach, in addition to that, you also need Zeros haPesach, like the third version of Rava. Okay. Good. Move on to the next topic. Next topic of the Gemara, from here until top of the next Amud, it's challenging Gemara for sure, but it's also great. What the Gemara, I mean, it's all of it's great, but in other words, once you get the hurdle of getting through the difficult nature of this Gemara, what the Gemara over here is going to basically do is the following. Look. What we have now seen in the world of sukkah is that we created a sukkah with barely enough wall. Meaning, go to the first picture over there. What do I have? I have two walls that are running at a perpendicular, and the third wall is simply a tefach. I mean, that's a base minimum, and you just have over 50%. Now watch what I do here. I'm going to do something amazing. I'll make a doorway over here. I'll even make a doorway over here. Okay? So now what I've done is that from a total standpoint, I've now, doorways are allowed. In other words, walls are entitled to have doors, right? Every wall has a door. Okay, no. I take it back. But in other words, a wall is certainly entitled to have a door. So now that I created a doorway, so now what I do? So now I took a sukkah and basically it's not even 50% material. And yet that's considered lagabi sukkah. As far as sukkah is concerned, that's a kosher sukkah. 100% kosher sukkah. Okay, I know we talked recently about the requirement of a Zeros haPesach to have some sort of frame, but as we pointed out, that's an addendum. But the base requirement of a sukkah is two walls and one and the third wall being a tefach. So now, for sukkah purposes, that's an enclosed area. Okay, now here becomes the discussion from this point going forward. I know for sukkah that's considered an enclosed area. I could sit down in such an area. I can sit at the table, take out a food, make a bracha, and fulfill my mitzvah of sukkah. I'm sitting in a sukkah. Now, let's turn our attention to Shabbos for just a moment. Shabbos also, there's a requirement to make an enclosed area for Shabbos. Not a sukkah requirement, but a reshus yachid requirement. Meaning, if I want a reshus yachid, if I want a private domain, so I have to have an enclosure. And it has to be an enclosure going around all four sides. Now, yes, for a Rishus Yachid, you don't need enclosed all four sides. It would be sufficient for a Rishus Yachid to be enclosed by three sides. But when all said and done, it has to be, we're going to look at the totality of the four walls of an enclosure for a Rishus Yachid. It has to be, I'm surrounded by walls. And yes, we're entitled to have a Pesach, we're entitled to have entrances and exits, of course. But as one of the basic halachas that we discuss time and again throughout Masechta Shabbos, to create a Rishus Yachid, I need Omed Meruba Ala Parts. I need more wall than airspace in order for an enclosure to be an enclosure Lagabi Shabbos. So basically, the Gemara now is going to wonder the following out loud. So now for Shabbos, in order for it to be Rishus Yachid, and remember, we go back to our basic rules of Shabbos. It's the first daf we learned together, Masechta Shabbos. Once it qualifies as a Rishus Yachid, so then I can't transfer from the Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabbim. I can't transfer from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yachid. I can carry within the Rishus Yachid. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. The Gemara basically wonders, for the 7 days of Sukkos, the Torah allows us to use an edifice as shallow, not shallow, but as empty as that picture over there. even though it's not 50% wall, it's 48, it's 47, it's less than 50% wall, I can use that as a sukkah. Can that, let's say Chol HaMoed Shabbos, or let's say the first day of Shabbos, can I sit in that on sukkahs, sukkah that coincides with Shabbos, and basically say, hey, look, it's good for my sukkah, it also doubles the Rishus HaYachid. Generally speaking, that is not a Rishus HaYachid. Okay, but here comes sukkahs, and the Torah allows me to sit in such a structure. So since it's a structure, lagabi sukkah, can I now also make the argument it works for Shabbos as well? Basically, what the Gemara is asking is, for that 1 week of sukkahs, can I redefine what the normal structure is, lagabi Rishus HaYachid? That is essentially the Gemara's question, which the Gemara will deal with for the next half of an amud. So, it's a big question. Rava gives a very straightforward answer. It works. Meaning, you sit in that sukkah on Shabbos, so not only have you fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah, but it can also, for that week, and for specifically for that Shabbos, redefine a Rishus HaYachid. Migudah havidofenling in sukkah, havidofenling in Shabbos. Since it works as a wall for sukkah, it also works as a wall vis-a-vis Shabbos. That is Rava's statement. Basically, yes. The laws of sukkah allow us to take something which generally would not be considered a structure for Shabbos and allows us to redefine it for that Shabbos. This is a principle known as migu. The Gemara here uses the actual term migu in just a moment. But migu means since. Since it works over here, it therefore will work over here. So it really gives us pause, because what essentially the Gemara is telling us is that the laws of sukkah help us actually redefine what an enclosure actually is.
What's the difference between migu and oil? They're both
sins, no? Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there's a... In other words, just in terms of where its usage is going to be. Migu over here is going to be, since it works over here, it works in this case as well. Right? Ho'ol is just basically the ability to look at its potential. Right? It's possible that, for example, that guest will come over. But here, we're going to actually take a law that applies over here, and we're going to now therefore apply it over here. So Abaye says, but wait 1 second. I have a Braisa. And the Braisa says that Dofen Sukkah Kedofen Shabbos. As long as I don't have a beam more than three tefachim away apart from one another. Rashi explains, and we're going to see more of this later on as well. You can create a wall for your sukkah using the principle of lavud. Now we just saw that a moment ago in the beginning of today's daf, that as long as I have something within three tefachim of another, it's halachically considered closed. That's the principle of lavud. And what you can do is that you can, I'll bring it back. You can basically make a pole, put another pole, and as long as they're within three tefachim of one another, and even though in the sum total you're going to have more airspace than you actually have wall, but the principle of lavud views these two as if they're actually close with one another. Fine. So the Braisa says that you can basically build a wall for Shabbos or for sukkah using the principle of lavud, and that would be fine. The Braisa, sukkah kedof and Shabbos v'vashol ha'i ben kan l'chaver shoshet fachim. V'yaseir Shabbos ha'sukkah. Now here we go. This next part of the Braisa, we'll read carefully. Abaye says this is going to be difficult for Rava. V'yaseir Shabbos ha'sukkah. Shabbos says that one additional requirement in the sukkah, shah Shabbos en enteres ala ba'omen merubel ha'paros. Meaning if I want to make an enclosure for Shabbos, what do I need to do? More wall than airspace. Okay. Mashayin came with sukkah, but that's not true regarding a sukkah. Period. That's the end of the Braisa. So in other words, what is the Braisa saying? You see what I drew over there, all the way to your left? For sukkahs, that'd be great. For Shabbos, that won't work. Because for Shabbos, there's a requirement of Omen Merub Al HaParetz. I need more wall. In other words, the sum total of all four walls, I need more wall than airspace. There, I have more airspace than I have wall. So it'll work for sukkah, but it won't work for Shabbos. That's the Braisa. Now, my love, this is now Abaye's inference from the Braisa. My love, Yisrael Shabbos to sukkah, as sukkah, v'lo amrin amigu. So doesn't the Braisa mean that we're talking about not any Shabbos. We're talking about the Shabbos that's on Sukkos. Meaning, on the Shabbos that coincides with Sukkah, if I made such a structure, it won't work. Because there's, meaning, vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Sukkah, I want to sit inside of it, I want to sleep inside of it, I want to eat in it, that's fine. But vis-a-vis the laws of Shabbos, it's not considered a Rishos Yachid. I can't transfer from that to my house, because that's not, assuming that the two are contiguous with one another, because that's simply not a Rishos Yachid. Doesn't that what the Brisa mean? The Gemara says, no. Lo, you say Shabbos Talma, Shabbos is Sukkah. So the Gemara says, no. We're not comparing the Shabbos of Sukkah to the actual halach of Sukkah. We're comparing Shabbos in general to that of Sukkah. Shabbos in general, in order to create an enclosure, you need to be circumscribed by all four walls, and you need more wall than airspace. But when it comes to Sukkah, no, because the Torah affords a Sukkah to be made up of only composite of two walls, and the third wall being a tefach. And even if those two walls have entrances and exits, what they're totally entitled to have, and even though the sum total is going to be less than 50% wall, it's fine. It works. And furthermore, the way Rav is understanding the Braisa, if I made such a sukkah on Shabbos, meaning every sukkah is going to have a Shabbos. So if I made that sukkah on Shabbos, because the Torah tells us that it's a valid sukkah, Migo, since it's a valid sukkah, Lagabi sukkah, it also will be a valid wall, Lagabi Shabbos as well. That's what the Braisa means. So the Gemara says, if so, if you're right, if that's what the Braisa's point is, that on Shabbos Sukkos, we can redefine what a wall is, so the Braisa shouldn't have stopped. Shouldn't the Braisa have gone on further and made the following a point? The Ilu Sukkah Da'ama by Tefach Shochek, the Ilu Sukkah DeShabbos, lo by Tefach Shochek, the Sagi Balechi. So the Gemara says, look, consider the following. And now I know we discussed this earlier today, but imagine instead of the walls being perpendicular to one another, imagine the walls are running parallel to one another. Okay, in other words, what we called earlier, amavui mafulash. Now, if I place a lechi on the mavui mafulash, according to an opinion, it converts it into a rishos yachid. Now, this is the way Rashi understands our Gemara. Based on that opinion, now that's not a consensus, not everyone agrees, but based on that opinion, since it converts that area on Shabbos from a public domain to a private domain, so won't it do the same thing for Sukkah? Meaning, won't they, if I have two parallel walls running one another, so on if for Shabbos it converts that into Rishos Yachid, so Shabbos Sukkah, can't you imagine it will also convert it into a Sukkah as well? Otherwise stated, if the laws of Sukkah allow us to redefine what a Rishus Yachid is, the Gabi Shabbos, so shouldn't the Braisa then therefore say the laws of Shabbos should allow us to redefine what is considered an enclosure, the Gabi Sukkah? And why doesn't the Braisa make that point? And by the way, you agree. Meaning that if I put a ischach on top of two parallel walls that has a lechi, that would be fine. So the Gemara, so Rava's response is like this. Point well taken. But how low it's the rechle? How should mekilta lechamerta amina mechamerta lekilta lekol shekain? And Rava says, you know, you're right. But the Braisa didn't have to make that point. Why not? Because look, it's one thing for us to redefine walls for what Shabbos is, a Shabbos enclosure is, because the laws of Shabbos are more strict than the laws of Sukkah. Meaning, you and I violate Shabbos, that's a serious offense. It's a lav, it's an issur race, right? It's right with witnesses and warning, it's a capital offense. So for the Braisa to tell us, here's what we're going to do, we're going to redefine what an enclosure is, Lagavi Shabbos, that's a huge deal. Because Without that redefinition, it wouldn't be an enclosure, and it would be in a violation of Shabbos. So the Braisa is going to tell us, since it works for Sukkah, it's also going to work for Shabbos. That's a major point. That's a major stand. Let's go now in the other direction. Since it's an enclosure for Shabbos, and therefore it's an enclosure for Sukkah, which is not light. That's not nothing, but not as serious a jump. Meaning, what if we violate Sukkahs? What we're doing is we're violating a positive commandment. No punishment if you don't stand a sukkah. No capital crime. In other words, it's an asay. It's a positive commandment.
It's midorait. This thing. It means the right of Shabbat is the
not
the concept of an eruv.
No, the concept of an eruv is, but we're not talking about an eruv. We're talking about a reshus yachid. We're talking about the very definition of reshus yachid. That's a din daraisa. So for the Braisa to now say, the Braisa made its huge point. We're going to redefine what an enclosure is for Shabbos. The Braisa didn't need to make the quote unquote lighter point. We're going to redefine what a sukkah is for sukkah. Which, again, it's not unimportant. It's just, relatively speaking, the Braisa made its biggest point. And once the Braisa made its biggest point, which is we can redefine what a wall is for Shabbos and what enclosure is for Shabbos, we'll get it. Meaning then we'll understand it would work the other way as well. Because working the other way, meaning to redefine what enclosure is for Sukkah, is not comparatively, relatively, is not as big a deal. Gufa. Amar Rava. The Gemara did not want to let this point get escape. Where the Gemara goes back to the point that Rava made. Okay, Rava says that if I place schach on a mavui that has a lechi, it would be kosher. And again, the idea is that because on Shabbos that lechi converts it into a reshus yachid, so therefore it'll work for vis-a-vis sukkah as well. Now, even though we spent most of today learning that for the third wall it has to be significant. But because it changed its definition for Shabbos, didn't change. Since on Shabbos it is a Rishos Yachid, therefore Gabi Sukkah, it's also considered a Sukkah as well. You're right. That's right. That's an excellent point. I didn't make that clear, and I agree with you. Meaning that this idea of Ravel would only work for one day of Sukkah. Right. I agree. I can't imagine that it would work for the other 6 days of Sukkah. Good, excellent point. The Amar Rava Sichecha Gabi Pasei Beros Kshera, and Rava says, and as long as we're here, as long as we're on the topic of it works for Shabbos, therefore it'll work for a Sukkah. So let's go back to our four brackets. Okay, second parak of Erevin, the entire second parak of Erevin dedicated to one topic, and that is. Makeshift Rishus HaYachid. We're traveling, we're on our way to Yerushalayim, we stop for Shabbos, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and we want to be able to carry over that Shabbos, so what do I do? So put poles in the four corners, they're not poles, but brackets, right? Just simple perpendicular brackets in the four corners, and that'll serve as the Rishus HaYachid. This is what's called the concept of Pasei Beiraus. Also, the actual structure themselves is referred to as a diumid, right? Diumid is not a, whatever, from the word duo. Okay, because each bracket is a composite of two walls at a 90-degree angle. Anyway, so, and you do that, and it works for Shabbos. Okay, and it's interesting, meaning there certainly you have more airspace than you have actual wall. How does that work regarding Shabbos? Okay, the second parak in Erevin, we tackled that issue. I don't know if we came up with a satisfactory answer to that question, but fine. But it works. So the point is, it works with Gabi Shabbos. So now, once again, the Gemara is now making the same point. Because it works for Shabbos, it also is going to work for Sukkah. So if for Shabbos it's considered an enclosure, so I put schach over the top of it, it'll also now be a valid Sukkah as well. Utsricha. Now the Gemara says, so here, basically, here's what we did. We basically turned two Shabbos structures into a sukkah. We took the mavui mefulash with a simple lechi, and we said, okay, you know what? For Shabbos, it's a reshus yachid, it'll work as a sukkah. We took the four brackets, which on Shabbos works as an enclosure, and we said, you know what? That also will work as a sukkah. Those are the two points of Rava, to which the Gemara says, okay, but right, redundancy, meaning I need both of those statements. Utsricha, the Gemara says, you bet I do. Because in the case of the Mavoi, I have two real walls, although they're facing one another, but they're two real walls. But regarding the four bracketed area for the travelers, you don't have one wall. All you have is just simply four brackets in the four corners. At least in the case of the Pasei Beiraus, so granted, I don't have four real walls, but at least I have the form and the appearance of four walls. But if I have two parallel walls facing one another, It doesn't even have the appearance of four walls. Emalo. So therefore, no. And if all I had was these cases, well, here, I'm going in the direction from Shabbos to Sukkah. But what about going the other way, which is where we started the discussion? In other words, if it works for Sukkah, it'll also work regarding Shabbos. So that's what I need the original statement of Rava, which is that if I have that, meaning all the way to your left, where it's not 50%, it's less than 50% of actual wall, since by Sukkah it defines itself as a Sukkah, so therefore Shabbos, it also will result in a Rishus Yachid for Shabbos as well.
How could you use this logic against
Halakha Moshe Mitzinai? No, the Halakha Moshe
Mitzinai. Two walls and one tefach.
Two walls and one tefach, that's it. That's a sukkah. Good. So what Rav is saying is, because it works as a sukkah, it also works as a Rishos Yachid for Shabbos. But again, only during sukkahs, where the Torah recognizes it as a sukkah. Okay, just quickly run through the next bit of Gemara.
That was accepted?
Is Rav's position accepted? Yes. I'll tell you the point where I'm confused, meaning what Rav is doing is ignoring basically all the previous Gemara, meaning the requirement of the Tzuras HaPesach and right the three statements of Rava and Rava's, you know, and Rava's addendum, meaning this discussion is a great argument. It's a great logical argument, but it does seem to be ignoring all the previous requirement. And that part confused me. And okay. Now you get to read some of my thoughts. Ushechamta meruba mitzilta psula. Tana rabbanon chamta machmas sichach v'la machmas defanos. I need more shade than sun, right? That was the last requirement mentioned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, and it has to be more shade provided by the schach, not by the walls. Meaning, even though the sun comes in an angle, and even though there will be some shade presented by the walls, that's not going to qualify. It has to be more shade than sun of the schach. So Rabbi Yoshi, I'm off Machmas Stefanos. And Rabbi Yoshi says, you know, I don't care. Meaning, if you're getting shade from the wall, that's great. That's good. That qualifies. So I'm Rabbi Yemar Barshamay Mishmei Dabai in my time of the Rabbi Yoshi Dichsiv. So what's the reason? So the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk coming up soon, right? A couple parshios. V'sakota al aronas haparoches. Paroches. V'sakota al aron paroches. Now paroches, that's the vertical partition used to separate the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Torah describes that it's what? It's a sukkah, it's a canopy. Now how can a vertical wall serve as a canopy? Paroches mechitza. V'kakari rachmana schacha. So that's exactly the point. Meaning that even though it's a vertical wall, it qualifies as schach. Ama mechitza kitzchach meinan. So what do you see from there? You see that even though the shade is being provided by the vertical wall, that would be sufficient. V'rabbanan, and the rabbis disagree. How denekav beporta demechse kitzchach? No, the requirement of the Torah when building, when constructing the Mishkan, is that as you get towards the top, I want it to bend over a little bit. I don't want a vertical going all the way to the top. I want a vertical mostly to the top. And as you move towards the top, it needs to bend in a little bit. Okay. Amar Abaye. Abaye makes a statement. I'll start the statement today. We'll go through a couple. And tomorrow we'll pick it up to finish up. Amar Abaye. Abaye says like this. We could string together Rebbe, Rebbe Oshia, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Gamliel, Beis Shammai, Rebbe Eliezer, Acherim. We could string these eight Tanaim together. And we're going to result in, they all basically say the same thing, which is kulusir lu sukkah diras kava be'inan. The sukkah has to be a permanent structure. Now, mind you, day one of the Masechta, we noted that that's not required, meaning the sukkah. In fact, according to Rava, the very definition of a sukkah is that's diras arai. It has to be a temporary structure, not a permanent structure. Fine. But what Abai is doing is he's stringing together these Tanayim, who basically can be all have one common denominator running through them. They all require that the sukkah be a permanent structure. And now what he's going to do, we'll continue this tomorrow, is he's going to show through these, each one of these tonight, reflecting their particular viewpoint, how it is that their requirement is that the sukkah be a permanent structure, not a temporary structure. Again, we talked today about basically three topics. Number one, the topic of where to put that third wall. The third wall, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, allows it to be a tefach. Where to place it? So the Gemara made a number of suggestions, and then we had the statement of Rava, which is that there are addendums in terms of, in addition to that one tefach, what else should you do? And the Gemara seems to have concluded that you need to have also a tzuras haPesach. Then the Gemara, the second big topic we discussed today, is redefining enclosures. Can we use the sukkah definition to help redefine the Shabbos enclosure? Can we use the Shabbos enclosure to redefine the sukkah enclosure? Rava's answer to both of those were yes. And then the last topic we discussed today, which we didn't finish, is those Tanaim who are of the opinion that a sukkah needs to be a permanent structure, not a temporary structure.